Scale me up, Scotty. Calculate, got me up late. Gotta make another tray for Sunday. Ay, can't wait, not enough bait. Frost on my opponents, gonna call them cupcakes. And it's no hate, just facts. There's just no way I'm last. Technically, I'm last. 101 pick, I'm bad. Bad at the bone, ain't mad at the dome. Ain't rather than know the anatomy. Know a value of roses, dandy to know the man. JPAZ, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
Welcome back, everybody, to the DTC Podcast. I'm your host, John Paul Hurley. Joining me this week, once again, my co-host, Izzy Elkafoss, the Pharaoh of Fantasy, or Pharaoh is, what's your Xbox gamer tag again?
Is Air Egypt.
Is Air Egypt. Now everybody's going to be adding you in. Go and add Xbox gamer tag Is Air Egypt if you want to play Call of Duty. They only go up to 4 for Battle Royale, though. So if you're looking to play with him and a group of 50 others that invite him, it's probably not going to work out so well. All right. Well, that's enough Battle Royale talk. We're going to cook it up for you gourmet this week on the DTC podcast. We've got a brand new segment. This is going to be kind of a quickie, a little bit of quick hitting topic. But this is going to be called the Dynasty Trade Wire, brought to you by DTC. If you happen to have a subscription to the Dynasty Trade Calculator, go to any player card that you've selected in the calculator. It's like click on their name. It'll open up the player card. Along the top are a set of tabs. One of the tabs is Trade Wire. So whatever player you have selected, you're able to see all of the recent trades or a few of the recent trades from that player, like real trades and real leagues. And the calculated values, it shows you each one. So it's kind of a cool feature that we've added to the calculator. Go check that out. And we're going to dedicate this podcast to covering some players in the trade wire. And we're going to do all wide receivers. This is wide receiver edition, right? All wide receivers all the time.
I like it.
So let's do this. Let's get right into it. The first wide receiver and how we selected which ones we want to talk about is we checked to see which were the most entered wide receivers in the calculator database. So these are the people that are probably the most traded or at least the most looked at. People are curious what their value is. So we're going to cover some of the trades for each of these players. The first one was Diontae Johnson. This is a really compelling one. This one's I'm looking at right away. There's a badge that comes up on his player card called Izzy's Mans. This is your guy, right?
This is my guy. Well, I mean, I should probably change it because he was my man's before everybody else jumped on the train. Yeah. So now I'm less excited about. It's just not fun. You know, it's fun to be one of the few on Diontae. And then now that everybody's on Diontae, it's really not that much fun anymore.
So I agree. I've had to change my man's also for the same reasons. Like their value already ballooned up since January when I put it on there. Now it's just not fun anymore.
Yeah. So yeah,
and you're right. He's in a super flex league. He's gone up to a 12.9, which is equivalent to like a late first. So he's actually kind of landed.
Yeah, unfortunately. And he's getting close. Honestly, he's getting close to sell territory. Like you might have to sell off some shares. Like, and this is the power of having multiple leagues. If you're in one league, it's really hard to sell players that you like. That I would never sell Diontae unless he got into like AJ. Maybe lower than AJ Brown Terry. But if he was getting into that mid first, you know, early first, mid first, I'd probably start selling him. In that one, even in the one league, even in the one league format that if I had. But if I have like in the case that I have, you know, 15, 20 leagues and I have him on 8 of my teams, I'll sell off a few shares and just take some profit and hold on to the other shares.
I like that, diversifying your portfolio.
Yeah. So
clever girl. Yeah, that's what you do when a stock balloons. So, and actually the cool thing about it is if you click on Diontae's name, the first tab is player info, and that kind of shows you a historical trend line of where his value has been. And it's kind of gone up and down, but it's currently on an increase. So at this point last year, his value was 2.5, and now it's spiked way up to 12.9. So it would be a decent idea to consider selling off some of your shares. I agree with you on that. So getting into it, looking at the trade wire in a 12-team PPR Superflex league, here's a couple trades that we're pulling in. And we're not saying that we condone any of these trades. These are just trades that have actually been executed. But this one was performed in the Dodgeball Dynasty League. I like because you can see which league it was pulled in from. So you actually might get lucky enough to see your own league in there someday. But The trade was Drew Lock and Deontay Johnson for the rookie 107. And that comes in the calculator. So all of these values are calculated for us too in the trade wire. 37.6 to 19.8 in favor of the Drew Lock, Deontay Johnson side. So not advised, but Izzy, why don't you break it down?
Yeah, I think this is like somebody thinking, okay, well, I got to sell Drew Lock because his value is so high now in a super flex league. What people don't understand is, yeah, just you sell somebody because his value is so high, but you should probably get the value that is causing people to say sell him because his value is too high. But I think Drew Lock right now, I would rather have Drew Lock over the 107. So that in itself is, you're basically getting a free Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, that's pretty easy.
So this is it's a head scratcher. Somebody needs to be using maybe just not our calculator, any anything to help support their trading. Even if they,
and you know
even
what?
If they kept it basic at ADP, you're still off on this.
I agree. And this could be an indication of the power of trading rookie draft picks during your rookie draft. I'm assuming that this person might have been on the clock and maybe some good player, like somebody fell, Dobbins, Tua, somebody kind of like that was projected top 4 or 5, fell to 107, and this guy probably got desperate and made a move.
Okay.
And this was the reward that he got for it. I think that's probably
trade. What player would need to fall for you to do that trade?
It would have to be Burrow, Taylor, or CEH. And that would only be in consideration. I don't know that it would be instant for me. But yeah, actually, I'd probably do one of those three.
I wouldn't do Burrow. I wouldn't do any of them.
I definitely would.
Just because, unless I needed running back. I wouldn't do it for quarterback because I'd argue that I'd almost rather have Drew Lock than Joe Burrow because we've seen him. He's got the weapons. I've gotten a taste of him, you know?
Yeah, but maybe not from a value standpoint.
That's silly. Sure. Yeah, Burrow has more value. But I wouldn't give up, for me personally, if I own Drew Lock and Deontay Johnson, somebody offers me Burrow, I'm actually insta-declining that trade.
Well, and you love Deontay Johnson too, though, so I can understand that. This is probably another indication of a player or a team, an owner that doesn't value Deontay like what we have him at or what the community has him at, what the market value is. Plus, like I said, on top of the 12.9 that Deontay's pulling in for value, late first value, you also like him in addition to that. So it would take somebody would have to pay more than a late first for you to sell him, you know?
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. If you drop Drew Lock into this draft, are you taking him at 104 in Superflex? Is that what you're saying?
I'd probably take him in the same neighborhood. I'd probably go Tua ahead of him. So I'd go Burrow, Tua, Drew Lock. And I'd take both the running backs, CEH and Jonathan Taylor, ahead of Drew Lock. So he'd be 105 for me.
Okay, and then where would you take Deontay Johnson?
Definitely in the late first. I would take him after. Yeah, I'd probably take him as like the wide receiver 3, personally.
Okay, so behind Lamb and Judy?
Yep.
So it's like 110 range? 109? 109, 110?
I'd say 110 or later.
Okay.
Because there's Dobbins, Akers, there's still plenty of running backs that slot in.
Sure, but I mean, we're running out of players. But yeah, let's call it 110.
Yep.
So 105 and 110 for the 101. So that's your break even?
Yeah, I don't think I'd feel great about that, but yeah, that's about right.
What would you do it for? If you have the 102, would you take 105, 110?
I would need some incentive on either side to make either of those ones. I think that's about even value for either one of them, but I don't know necessarily that I would be emphatic on either side.
Fair enough. Yeah, either way, this trade, quite a bit off. Just a bit outside.
I made a joke on Twitter today about us incorporating GIFs in response to trades that are entered. That'd be kind of funny to have like a vomit GIF for this one or something.
Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be so cool. Maybe someday in the future.
One day.
Okay, so trade number 2. This was performed in Young and Restless Dynasty. It's James Conner and Deontay Johnson for the 204. We probably don't even need to cover this one.
God, what is happening?
Somebody is really restless.
And very young.
Yeah, because I don't think either of those players would qualify it. Here's the thing. These are actual trades that are executed in leagues, so it's possible that maybe this could have been like a cleanup trade, or like there was some rookie money, like auction money or something, that was added to this in the comments that doesn't pull into the wire, you know? So like maybe it's possible there's something else, some missing context, you know? I can't imagine this happening.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Let's gloss over that one. We'll go to this is a little bit more even. This is performed in Superheroes Dynasty. I think I've heard of that one, actually. Keenan Allen and the 110, the 2020 110, for Deontay Johnson, the 109 and the 202. This comes in at 35.8 to 39.5 in favor of the Deontay side. But this is really close. What do you think? And actually, we could almost cancel out the 109-110 since they're so close, and it's like the players that are going to fall in that area are going to be very similar. So just to make it a little bit easier for our brains to process, would you rather have Keenan Allen or Deontay in the 202?
I've never owned a Keenan Allen share, and I don't plan on starting now. So I would take Deontay in the 202, but I think it's very close.
Nice. And I agree with that. I think the value and the long term are on the Deontay side, especially with Keenan Allen with question marks at quarterback.
And he's hit the new dynasty age cliff for wide receivers.
What is that now anyway?
28. 28 is when you can look at every single wide receiver that's ever hit 28 in the last few years, and they're all losing value. They've all lost value.
That's really sad.
So 28 is the number, whether you like it or not. So if you're not an ageist, then you should be buying 28-year-old wide receivers.
And Keenan Allen. He's turning 29 too.
Yeah, Keenan Allen should be a big buy for you if you don't believe that. If you're in the camp that selling at 28 years old is absolutely asinine, then you should be buying at 28. And most of your team should be built around 28-year-old wide receivers, because that's where you're getting the most bang for your buck. You're getting... Yeah. You're avoiding even 27 to 28, which is insane. The value, I mean, you're probably getting a 30% discount just off of 1 year.
You want to know what's sad about this? I talked about this last year a little bit. Keenan was one of my favorite sells last year.
He was your top sell.
He was my top sell. I felt like that cliff was coming. And selling a wide receiver at 27 seems like smart money, because when they hit 28, their value. I'm going to click on Keenan Allen on a different page, but his value has dipped, not only because of his age, but because of Philip Rivers and Mike Williams actually broke out a little bit last year. I would call it a breakout year. But a lot of factors in Keenan Allen caused his value to drop pretty bad. What were you saying?
I think he's just not sexy. People like sexy. Keenan Allen is not sexy. I feel like people have gotten bored with Keenan Allen, so his value's dropping.
He's still a big name, though, you know.
Yeah, not really. Like if you're looking at a roster and you see Keenan Allen, people aren't like, oh my god, he's got Keenan Allen. You know, when he was 25, 26, and he had these big reception games, it's just like kind of like the Jarvis Landry effect. Jarvis Landry's first couple of years, and I know they're not on the same level in terms of upside. But Jarvis Landry, people are like, oh my god, he's catching so many balls. Yada yada, you got to get him, got to get him. And then that just became boring. You know, the 100 receptions, 1,000 yards, and 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, we get it. Yeah, we don't need you now.
So it's like, people are always looking for the monster year. They're looking for the 1,410 type player, and that's not Keenan Allen. That's not Jarvis Landry. So those players not only will lose value quicker, but when they hit the age cliff, they'll lose it harder. Like they'll lose it in bigger chunks. And I think that's what we're looking at with Keenan Allen.
I agree. And looking at his historical trend, this time last year, he was the wide receiver 8 for rankings and value. He was also valued at 34.3, and his value's come all the way down to 20.3, and he's currently the wide receiver 22, so he has fallen significantly. So it looks like around fall last year was the optimal time to sell him, and it might have been a peak for his career also. Like I think in years previous, he had some bigger spikes. He would go way up, and then he got injured. He'd go way up, got injured. But last year in the fall was probably his biggest, his longest window to sell him, I think. So,
yeah.
And, this is kind of cool, actually, because it shows the months of July, August, and then before September hits. And then when September hits, the season started, his value actually had a really quick spike up to 39. So it's kind of showing what we believe in is the trend for veterans. When the season begins, they start performing. Value goes up because people kind of forget the unsexiness that they carry during the offseason. And they're like, oh my God, this guy performs. He can get me points and wins for my team. And then he started slowly deteriorating over the course of the season again, because it's like, okay, had that initial spike and fades off. So kind of cool to see that. the trend line, and it validates what we believe, you know?
Yeah.
So that was three trades for Deontay Johnson. I think we can move into the next one here. The next wide receiver we have is DJ Chark, a very compelling one. A lot of people are searching for him in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database. DJ Chark is currently valued as a 19.5 in the Dynasty Trade Calculator, which is equivalent to like a mid-first. And this is pretty cool. So his first one out of the gates is also, everybody's selling Drew Lock. It's a Drew Lock trade, and it's straight up DJ Chark for Drew Lock.
Hmm.
The good thing about this one is it's a lot closer than the other one we analyzed.
It's a lot closer.
So DJ Chark, 19.5. Drew Lock, 24.7. I think we're on the Lock side, but it's at least closer, right?
Yeah, I like both players here. I'm taking the quarterback, though.
Yep. That's pretty easy. And I think we probably broke down our feelings about Drew Lock in the previous Trade Wire edition. So with Deontay Johnson, so we can probably skip over some
what
of that.
What was their draft position in the Nerds Trade Calculator draft? Like this, we had six Nerds, six Trade Calculator team members in a draft. Let me pull that up just out of curiosity. I drafted Chark. I know that.
You want to know where Chark went and where Lock went?
Yeah, so I'm pulling it up.
I can't. Yeah, you'll have to pull it up because I can only see the rookie draft.
Yeah, there's a little tab that says startup. So I got Chark at 6'10", and Lock went at 6'03".
Wow!
And so I would have taken Lock at 6'10" had he fallen.
Yeah, totally.
And I think you were to taken him at 6'07". So,
Everybody wanted him in the six. That was hilarious.
Yeah. So yeah, I think I think I'm on the Lock side here pretty comfortably. I think it's interesting. Quarterbacks and startups fall a lot farther than their true value after the startup has commenced. So once the startup is done, quarterback values skyrocket. And I think it's because once the startup's happening, you're like, okay, I can get three or four quarterbacks here, so on and so forth. So you're just kind of always waiting to get certain guys. And then after the startup is done, you end up realizing that you only have two or three quarterbacks, and now the value of that asset has increased significantly to you and to the rest of the league. So they become significantly harder to attain in a trade. And I've seen that in every startup. And then it's funny because you see quarterbacks going really high in startups, and then people will be like, oh my God, I can't believe these quarterbacks are going so high in startups. But then after the league has done with their startup, you can't trade for quarterbacks. Like, they're impossible to trade for. I mean, you've experienced, I've never been in a league where it's easy to acquire a quarterback in a Superflex league.
Yeah,
and it might be because most of my leagues are industry leagues. I don't know, but it's definitely an interesting dynamic.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, and the deeper the league, the harder it becomes, obviously, too, because the fewer the quarterbacks. Everybody wants to fill out their starting lineup. So this is there's only two trades that are returning for this format. It's Calvin Ridley for DJ Chark. Calvin Ridley comes in at 20.4, Chark at 19.5. I'm curious to see what you think about this one, because I know you're not fully on the bandwagon for Calvin Ridley, and I know that you kind of like DJ Chark. So what are your thoughts on this one? What would you do?
Yeah, this one's really hard for me. I don't like it. I wouldn't do it if I was either. if I was either team.
You need to have a pick on.
Yeah. I would just be like, hey, they're close enough to where it doesn't matter to me. I think Calvin Ridley is. I'm more confident that Calvin Ridley will be a good player for a long time. I don't know if Chark's season, because he was a little inconsistent, especially towards the end. I don't know if Chark is a one-hit wonder or if he's legit, right? There's still a concern there. And and I'm not saying the concern is high. I'm just saying that the door is open. I don't think the door is open for Calvin Ridley not being a really good player. I think it's more the issue with Calvin Ridley is how long is Julio there? Once Julio is done, how old is Matt Ryan? Who's replacing him? There's a little bit more. You're basically looking at this, a solidified wide receiver two that we know is going to be there. Or do you want the guy that we've seen one time being the wide receiver one with a quarterback that's still also a little unknown? So
yep.
For me, I probably at the wide receiver position, I want upside just because I think it's so easy to find usable players. Hell, I can go get Jameson Crowder for a third round pick and yep. he'll get me wide receiver three numbers at worst when he's playing. So I'd probably go Chark here and just go for the upside because Calvin Ridley will forever be, I mean, not forever, but indefinitely be a wide receiver two on his own team.
I agree. And I think a lot of people might disagree with that. And here's my kind of spin on it. I think a lot of people assume that Calvin Ridley will become what Julio Jones was to Roddy White. People think Calvin Ridley will be to Julio Jones. And I think that's a little bit foolish because Julio was immensely talented. And everybody saw his breakout coming. He's just a physical freak. Calvin Ridley doesn't possess those physical attributes. And I believe that before Julio is gone, the Falcons will bring in another person that they believe can become that Julio. I think Matt Ryan's got plenty of time left. But I agree with you. I think Calvin Ridley will always kind of be that role player and not really break out and have the higher ceiling like a Julio had or what you may see in DJ Chark. So I'm not ready to crown DJ Chark yet like you are, but I'm always a little bit slower to move on players like that. So we'll see how that turns out.
Yep.
So that was DJ Chark.
But interestingly enough, though, we should mention the three trades for DJ Chark on the trade wire, two of them are exact same. Drew Lock for DJ Chark, Drew Lock for DJ Chark.
Yep, both different leagues. Yep.
And they were done, 22 days apart.
I like that. And the cool thing about the trade wire is it does give you ideas for trades that you can make in your own leagues, too. You know, like if you think that it's laughable that somebody could get Chark for Drew Lock or vice versa. That's, you know, a good, and you have one of those players in your team, that's a good idea for a trade for you, you know? Viewing this just for that.
And just as a heads up for people, whatever you have selected in the trade calculator as a setting, when you click on the player's name, that setting will populate the trade wire.
Yep.
So if I click on standard instead of super flex, for instance, I will get a new set of one quarterback instead of super flex.
You
end up getting trades like the rookie pick 101 and Mark Andrews for Tyler Boyd, Chark, and the 107. So, and you obviously with the amount of options that we have on our calculator, you can see a bunch of different settings and a bunch of different DJ Chark trades. So,
yep,
it's kind of cool.
And the cool thing is, like, if you select all these other outlier settings, running back point per carry, tight end premium, Devy. All these different options, 16 teams. If they're more obscure, there's a likelihood that no trades will pull in, but over time, we'll be always collecting trade data. So hopefully we'll be able to populate those cells very soon because it's always building up. So before we get into the third and final player, we're going to take a quick pause for our sponsors, Dynasty Owner. Have a listen.
What's going on, DTC friends and family? I'm here to talk to you about Dynasty Leagues, but not in the way that I usually do. No, we're not talking about the Dynasty Diagnostic. We are talking about Dynasty Owner. The best fantasy football leagues are those where every owner consistently pays attention, responds to trade offers, changes their lineup, and is always looking to improve their team. We've all been in leagues where non-active owners absolutely kill the vibe, and you don't get any enjoyment from actually participating in that league, win or lose. These aren't one of those. This is no off-season for the owners on Dynasty Owner. That's who you're challenging yourself when it comes to Dynasty Owner. Other elite fantasy football players are committed to competing and are vetted before they're even placed in Dynasty Owner leagues. It's the only football platform with a patent game using actual NFL salaries and contracts. Combine this with a salary cap, trading options, advanced team rosters, and devoted and elite owners willing to compete against you, and you're faced with the same decisions that NFL owners and general managers must make on a day-to-day basis. If you are ready to take the leap, to take the next step, and to take on the absolute creme de la creme of Dynasty gamers, then don't miss out. We have an amazing mobile app that will be out on iOS and Android in May, just in time to start filling up your draft with all the rookies being added to the player pool. Just waitlist at www.dynastyowner.com so you don't miss out when new leagues open.
All right, welcome back. Final player of the Trade Wire segment. This is the inaugural Trade Wire segment. I think we're going to have to bring this back for future episodes. I like this segment. This is really cool, actually, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It should be a, like a permanent segment, almost an entire show even, a good friend of mine said once. The third and final player that we have is Courtland Sutton for the Trade Wire segment. And Courtland Sutton was one of the higher search players in the Calculator database. Everybody's wondering what they should do with their Courtland Sutton shares. So here's a couple trade examples, Izzy, in your 12-team PPR Superflex leagues. Courtland Sutton, the 204 and a mid-2021 second, or Nick Chubb. It comes in at 38.2 to 45.2 in favor of Chubb in the calculator, so I think it's self-explanatory. But Izzy, why don't you break this one down for us?
I love Sutton. I'm going Chubb here. I don't think the 204 and the mid-second is enough. I would need a first-round pick to move Sutton or to move Chubb. So I need Sutton and a mid-first to do that.
This just kind of tells you that Chubb could be attainable right now. People are scared off of Kareem Hunt, and Correct. Maybe he's a little bit easier to acquire.
Correct. And when I say, I mean, Sutton in a mid-first, let's say Sutton in the 106, I was still, oh, man. That's when I'm starting to really...
waver.
Yeah. I think that's the line for me.
I agree. Wow, the Sutton one has, like, the cool thing about the Trade Wire is that there can be a half dozen trades, recent trades, and they'll all appear. You can just keep scrolling and, like, lose yourself into a rabbit hole. So we're going to try to cover as many of these trades as we can before we sign off. But
holy cow, he's got a bunch. There's, like, 10 of these in for Suttons.
Yeah. By the way, that first league, the league name is Building a Dynasty, and then in parentheses, bad. So Building a Dynasty, bad. I love it. That's hilarious. The next one is a Safe Leagues league. I believe those are all run by Mr. Scott Fish. So Safe Leagues Dynasty 344. And it's straight up Courtland Sutton or Devontae Adams. This shows me that the general fear that people have for Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers' performance. But I can't imagine anybody doing this, but it looks like somebody got their guy, Izzy.
Yeah, after the NFL draft.
That's right, May 8th. That's correct.
Yeah, so here's the deal. And a lot of dynasty players do this. They're thinking about, well, who would I rather have in a couple of years? And in 2 years' time, Courtland Sutton will have more value than Devontae Adams. I'm confident in that. So when Devontae Adams is 29 and Courtland Sutton is 26, Courtland Sutton will have more value than Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
I love Devontae Adams and I love Courtland Sutton. But I'm not trading Devontae Adams for just Courtland Sutton.
You got to get more. And not DJ Moore, just more.
You got to get more.
Yeah.
You got to give me more before I even consider it. I agree with the notion that, I mean, even as early as sometime in 2020, Courtland Sutton could have more value than Devontae Adams. That's entirely possible. But I'm not trading on the basis of future projection, like an assumption of something that might happen. The facts are right now, Devontae Adams is playing with Aaron Rodgers at 27 years old in a prime season with no really threat to be the number one in that offense. And we know what he's done with Aaron Rodgers. Flip to Courtland Sutton, they drafted two wide receivers, one that we really like, one that I really like, Jerry Jeudy. And one I don't really like, KJ Hamler, but they still drafted two receivers. They drafted they brought in a tight end,
Alberto.
They have Noah Fant. I mean, there's just so much there. They brought in Melvin Gordon.
Yep.
We don't know how good Drew Locke actually is. I mean, I surmise he's going to be pretty good based on the end of last year. But there's just so much new to Sutton's situation that we have to consider.
Yeah.
So as much as I love him, I do worry about everything that's happened around him.
Yeah.
So it's Adams here pretty easily.
I think we can acknowledge that it's a good foundation for a trade. Maybe start with Sutton for Adams. That's your goal. And then just start to see what else on top of Sutton you can get. You know, start a little bit high and then whittle your way down to something, you know, find some middle ground. But yeah, that's straight up is not advised currently. The final trade, this one's a little bit more compelling for me. There's some really good context here, but it's done in the Dunder Mifflin Dynasty League. So I'm assuming this trade was executed by a couple of really smart guys. So it was Oscar and Dwight. Oscar and Dwight made this trade, I'm guessing. I got to imagine each team is named after somebody from The Office. This is awesome.
What the hell is a Dunder? What's Dunder Mifflin?
It's the name of the office, the company that The Office is filmed on. So I know you never watched The Office, so I wouldn't expect you to know that, but
gotcha.
It's from The Office.
Cool.
And yeah, Mosher's definitely leaving this in unedited, so you're going to get a lot of hate.
Oh, it's fine.
It's totally fine. So Dunder Mifflin Dynasty League, Team 1 trades Cortland Sutton for Jarrett Stidham. Again, this is Superflex League.
What do you say
and
it
Keenan
like that?
Allen.
Why do you say it like that?
You don't like to pronounce the H, do you? Stidham.
Stidham. Like, why do you do that? Why? Just say Stidham.
You like Stidham better, huh?
I think the H isn't supposed to be emphasized.
I think the M is also silent, so it's Stidha. So it's Cortland Sutton, Jarrett
like
Stidham for Keenan Allen, and Jarrett Stidham and Keenan Allen. So
Stidha.
This is tough, actually. Which side would you pick on this one? Because I know you're not a big Stidham believer.
It's interesting. I like Stidham enough. I mean, I drafted him in a majority of my Superflex leagues last year in rookie drafts because he was so late.
Yeah.
But now it gets to the point, once again, when his value is in the fives and the sixes in the trade calculator, I'm holding on to Stidham. Now that it's getting into that late first round territory, that's when you got to start considering moving him.
Oh, and by the way, I should give our listeners that context that you're going over. So the trade is 25.6 to 34.7 in favor of the Jarrett Stidham side. And individually, Jarrett Stidham is worth 14.4. So like Izzy's talking about, that's equivalent to like a late first. So continue.
Yeah. I wonder what his value was May 4th. I guess that was after the NFL draft. So you already saw his bump.
The cool thing is we have historical values. Want me to look it up?
Yeah. I think early May, he was still pretty high.
Here we go. Historical value, early May. Yeah, he was still a 14.4, so actually he hasn't changed since May, but his ascension began starting in February. So beginning in February, he was worth 9.2, then 11.2, 12.5, 14.4. So it's kind of been a slow increase.
Yeah.
He was 9.9 at around this time last year. So like he's been very consistent up until Brady left, which is where his value went up. And I think it's gone up slowly because as all of these high valued free agent targets have signed on teams, he's gained a little bit more and more, you know?
Yeah.
And like the rookie draft, I think the Patriots not addressing the position in the draft, I think that helped. I think they got like an unsigned free agent, but undrafted free agent.
No, yeah, I mean, I think the concern still with Stidham, and I think this is valid, is people are still waiting to see where Cam goes.
Yeah.
People are suspecting that they're going to trade for somebody. They're suspecting they're going to trade for somebody or bring in Cam.
Yeah.
Do you believe that Bill, I think we talked about this briefly, remind me, do you believe that Bill is going to roll Stidham?
Yes. And I think there's two angles to it. He's either going to roll a Stidham because he believes that Stidham's got what it takes and he'll succeed with him. We don't have the lens that Bill has because we've never really seen Stidham full in action, you know. Or Bill Belichick could be pulling, you know, a tanking method and starting Stidham so that way he can get himself Mr. Trevor Lawrence next year. I know that's a popular take, but not very believable.
He's not going to do it. He's not going to make it look like Tom Brady was everything to the Patriots. He's not going to do that.
Yeah.
That's why I have a hard time putting faith in the fact that he's going to just roll with Stidham. Unless he's so arrogant or so confident. Maybe he truly feels that Stidham is the real deal.
Well, so what exactly did, like, I know that Tom Brady at his older age still kind of has it. Like, if Tom Brady was asked to air the ball out 50 yards, 60 yards, I think he could do it.
He's washed, no.
His velocity is still there.
Mm-mm.
No, I think there was some next-gen metrics that showed his velocity was still there. They showed his arm speed. It's still there. Anyway.
It's not.
I think that what Tom Brady was asked to do last year wouldn't be difficult for many quarterbacks, including Jarrett Stidham, like, which is like, dump it off, short routes, quick release. I think that Jarrett Stidham could be a system quarterback, and he's been in Belichick's system long enough to be able to learn those things and those nuances. I don't think it's going to be a problem. I don't think it matters who is there.
I don't disagree with it. If Matt Castle can do it, just about anybody can.
Yeah, there you go.
The question becomes, the supporting cast isn't the same as it's always been on both sides of the ball. I mean, I guess their defense is pretty solid, but yeah, regardless, let's talk about the trade.
Yeah, go ahead.
Stidham and Keenan Allen, like, I just does not, I don't like either side. I don't think you're getting, I think you're giving up Stidham and Keenan. I think that's too much to give up for Sutton. But if I have Sutton, I don't want to get Stidham and Keenan back.
That's like, not the players you
it's
want.
Not, yep. Yeah, it's not what I want. So I really dislike this trade a lot. A lot.
Yeah. And I take the Stidham side relatively easily, but I will be looking to move Keenan Allen shortly after, like a cascading trade.
But do you really? I mean, we've had this conversation. At what point do you stop trying to trade Keenan Allen because his values, the production that he's going to provide for the next few years is greater than the value that you're going to get in a trade?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. But like, then you kind of contradict yourself by saying if Keenan Allen is currently a buy, I suppose you said for people who aren't ageists though, right? And are you an ageist? That's the question.
I look at it from a, I'm always trying to trade from a, I want an open market for my players. If I can do that, I want that. Yeah. The issue with Keenan is it's not an open market. And what I mean by that is when you have a guy like Cortland Sutton, let's say hypothetically, 9 out of the 11 other owners in your league would want Cortland Sutton, or 8 out of the 11, whatever that number is. The average dynasty player, what is that number? Is it 70% players would want Cortland Sutton? With Keenan Allen, how many people in your league would actually be looking to acquire Keenan Allen? Maybe at this point, 20%? 30%?
Yeah.
So now what you've done is you've basically handcuffed yourself to a player. You've become inflexible with that player. And I want ultimate roster flexibility. I want players that I can move to multiple teams and so on and so forth. Because those two or three owners that might look to acquire Keenan at a relatively decent price, you have to then find players on their team that you actually want to acquire. So you're closing the market to yourself. So I don't like acquiring players like that. Stidham, on the other hand, you're probably looking at half your league would look to acquire Stidham. Probably the other half is skeptical. So it's different for me. So yeah. It's not like I'm an ageist. I'm always looking at opportunity.
You're an opportunist. Yeah.
Yes. I'm always looking at opportunity. So, and then a trade like this, I like Sutton's opportunity a lot greater than Stidham and Keenan Allen from a roster flexibility perspective, but I'm not getting the value that I want, you know, to give up Keenan and Stidham. It's a trade that I don't like. Yeah. If push came to shove, I would take Stidham and Keenan Allen, but like you said, I would instantly look to move Stidham. And with Keenan Allen, I'm probably just at this point biting the bullet and saying, I'm just going to hang on to him until, you know, hopefully he can produce for me at the beginning of the year. But I don't love it, man, at all.
So you hinted at what my point was going to be. And I think that most of your commentary is incredibly insightful, only given the current time frame. So like in the month of June, you're absolutely right. I think the market's going to be very limited for Keenan Allen. But as soon as the season hits, like we looked at his historical value trend, September, October, he'll spike back up a little bit again. And I think that that's the point where, you know, a youthful player that isn't performing yet, that's going to take a little bit more time to catch on. Maybe like a Deebo Samuel will start slow. Keenan Allen will start hot. I'll flip Keenan for Deebo plus. And I'll be very happy with that.
I don't know, man. I don't know if that's, I mean, if you actually think that Keenan and Tyrod are going to form a relationship that's going to be conducive to big games, then yeah, maybe. But are you not concerned about that being an issue?
No, because I think Keenan will get his targets regardless of who's back there. I think Tyrod will, there's going to be less pass volume, but I think the passes that are going to go out, it's the plays are designed for Keenan. Hunter will get hurt. Mike Williams won't have any touchdowns. Like, just basing everything off of historical trends, but I think Keenan will get his targets.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to happen right away. You know, I think he's the guy they look to get involved in the offense. So I'm less concerned than that. With
I think he'll be productive. I just don't know how productive he'll be. But you can flip that same token. If you hang on to Sutton, I'm a big believer that Sutton will exceed in value as well. I think he'll be higher than 20.
Start, yeah.
I think he'll be higher than 25.6 come September, October.
I agree with that. Yeah, that's true. And Sutton could be the guy that you want in that. I'm just saying, if I'm netting Jarrett Stidham, and I believe that he'll be the starter, then I'm happy with that trade. Even if you're looking to flip both of them, like if you flip Stidham right now and then Keenan in October, I still think you profit from that transaction, even if Cortland Sutton kind of has a nice lift.
Okay, so let me actually, you know what? I'd probably go with the Cortland Sutton side, and here's why.
Ooh.
I just traded in a 14-team Superflex league. I traded the 114 and Stidham for A.J. Brown. And I think that A.J. Brown has more value than Sutton, but if everything was blind...
Considerably.
If everything was blind and we didn't have market values and so on and so forth, I would rather have Cortland Sutton than A.J. Brown. And I think that's... I'm in the minority there, but I think they're both very good players. I just like Sutton's situation better. So I'm taking Sutton there. In a trade like this, in a 12-team Superflex league, Stidham's value isn't as high as it would be in a 14-team league just because it's supply and demand. And then Keenan's value obviously is higher than the 114. Let's call it closer to the 109-ish, I feel like, 110. So I think I have to stop looking at it from a pure value perspective on this because once again, I'm handcuffed to hanging on to Keenan Allen, and then Stidham, I have to hope that I can trade him. So I'm just gonna hang on to Cortland Sutton in a situation like this.
Okay, and then be lower maintenance for yourself too.
Yeah, then I don't have to rely on another owner in my league looking to trade for Stidham because I'm.
And
not
you're projecting
be able to
Cortland having about the same value as that side anyway midseason. So I guess yeah.
Yeah, and that the gamble becomes is Stidham for real or not. The Keenan thing is irrelevant to me. Like, I'm taking Keenan out of the consideration. It really comes down to, do I believe Stidham is going to be a high QB2, mid QB2, where he's solidified and he's the future of the Patriots? If that's the case, I lose out on the trade big time. And on the other hand, I'm betting on that Cortland Sutton is going to be in that, you know, low 30s range. So I think that's more likely that Jarrett Stidham loses value than gains value from where he's at today.
Yep, I agree. And I think that's your flag, and I think that's a good spot to kind of solidify the podcast, the Trade Wire segment, and the little quickie or shorty podcast, whatever you want to call it. And that's what we got for you this week. Maybe we'll just do a bunch of these little quick hitters. And we'll dedicate it to TradeWire, some new tech that the DTC the calculator has. That's all we got for you this week. Make sure you check out our sponsors, DynastyOwner.com. Check us out on Twitter at FFDynastyTrades. If you want to get any updates, any information, tweet at us. Let us know what you like, dislike. So thank you for listening, you guys, this week. We'll see you next time. Bye. Let's go.